Luke chapter 19. Picking up Corinthians, it's meant a lot of study, hours and hours and hours, almost every day. But I'm going to take up something very simple this morning in the way of the gospel. So I trust to receive some benefit. If you're not a Christian, I don't know any message I could preach that would bring the gospel down to A, B, C, to the kindergarten, so you'll be able to see and be saved. Verse 1 of chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest of a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Yesterday morning in reading this passage, and I guess I've read it hundreds of times in my life, I thought of the first 9 verses, and there's a word that describes the content of each verse, and that word begins with R. So I'm just going to run over them before getting into it in detail. In verse 1, you have the Lord Jesus entering, passing through Jericho. The Lord Jesus is ready to die. He's passing through Jericho on his way to the cross. If you want to see the truth of that, notice in chapter 18. I want you to notice verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. That's one thing. There are 7 things in the next 2 verses. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. First thing. And he shall be mocked. The second. And spitefully entreated. Third. And spitted on. Fourth. And they shall scourge him, 5th, and put him to death, 6th, and the 3rd day he shall rise again, 7th. How many and wonderful things you have in those 2 verses. It takes in the person and work of Christ. And it says in verse 35, And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. The Lord Jesus is ready to die, because there can be no salvation unless he dies. And he's facing Jericho, the city of the curse. God had cursed this city, and this cursed city was on his way to the cross. And he's got to go through Jericho, strange, on his way to Jerusalem and the sacrifice upon Calvary. The Lord Jesus was ready. That cursed city is a picture of this world. for the last word of the Old Testament is cursed. The human race is cursed. Every man and woman on the face of the earth is cursed. That's what the Bible teaches. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in the book of the law that is written to do it. And no man outside of Christ has fulfilled the law and kept the Ten Commandments complete. Thus man is under the curse. And Jericho is the city of the curse. That's what this world is. And the Lord Jesus, in order to save the people of this cursed world, he must go to the cross. And he's ready to go. He tells his disciples in the verses we read that he must go up to Jerusalem. He's got to go to Jerusalem if men and women are to be saved. And he knew what that cross was going to mean. He had to fulfill all the prophecies concerning his sacrifice, and he fulfilled every one. So the very first verse of this chapter speaks of the readiness of our Lord Jesus Christ to die. The second verse gives you something else. A rich revenue collector. The words I want to mention begin with R. The readiness of Christ to die in verse 1. Then you have this rich revenue collector in verse 2. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Then in verse 3, you have his resolve. He made a resolution. And he sought to see Jesus who he was. A wonderful resolve. A wonderful resolution. A decision. That word really means he put his foot down. He was determined to see Jesus. I would to God people were that determined today. Here is this little Jew, likely with a hooked nose, and he was rich. But he had heard about this man Jesus, and he made a resolve. I'm going to see him. I've got to see him. And he put his foot, no one's going to stand in my way. What a determination. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to get a look at this man. I've heard about him, but I want to see him. What a wonderful resolve. Then you have his reaction in verse 4, and he ran. There are his reflexes. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was the path that way. And I want to say this. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho for the last time. He's not going to pass through it gates again on the way to the cross. And Zacchaeus, unless you see him now, you'll never see him again. And then the Lord Jesus is passing through this world once. He did. He's not coming back. And he may be passing your way this morning and may never return. And so you find this young man, this Jew rather, and his reflexes were thus. He ran. I'm going to settle this thing. He ran and he climbed up into a sycamore tree. You'll notice he was recognized in verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. The Lord Jesus recognized that man sitting up in the tree. He knew his name. He knew all about him. Then you have in verse 6 the response. The response is, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What a response. What a reception. Then you have the fact in verse 7, he was ridiculed. And when they, scribes and Pharisees, saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Ridiculing this young man or this Jew for what he did. And also you might include in this ridicule the Lord Jesus. And here you find these people murmuring, ridiculing, renouncing, repudiating, reviling. And this word, a sinner, is gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner, means a notorious sinner. They couldn't understand it. They shook their head. They murmured. We can't understand this. This man is receiving a notorious sinner. He's even going to dine with him. This man who claims to be the Son of God and sinless, keeping such company. It's ridiculous. Another word beginning with R. People to say today, it seems ridiculous. To think that a sinless man should come to earth and go to the cross, lay down his life, and suffer for my sin, that I might be saved. I think I can take care of that little matter myself. I think I can work my way to heaven. I think I can live right, and thus win heaven. That's ridiculous. The Bible says, none righteous, no, not one. You've got to be saved just the way this man Zacchaeus got saved. So you have their ridicule. Then you have his restitution in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He stood before the Lord, said, Sir, from now on I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I find I have overcharged or overtaxed anyone, I will penalize myself by giving back four times as much. Restitution. And the final R is verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. There you have resident salvation. I just thought of those things last night as I read these 9 verses. A word beginning with R describes the content of every verse. Now getting into detail. This man, Zacchaeus, he was a very covetous man. He was rich. He wanted money and he got it. He was a curious man. Very curious. The cause of that curiosity was a blind man who had gotten his eyes open just outside the gate of Jericho. Furthermore, he was challenged. Christ says, make haste, come now. He met that challenge, and he was changed from a sinner to being a Christian. But he was criticized for that change. But he confessed. He confessed that this man who's come into my house is my Savior. And I'll prove by a changed life. Now you read about, he was a little man, it says here. Your Bible speaks of big men. Yes, there are big men. We think of Saul in the Old Testament, head and shoulders above all other men. You read about Goliath. And both of those men were big men, and there were other big men. We read of giants. I think there were several in David's army, big men, and then you read of bad men, Ahab and Judas, crippled men, You find Jacob, he was a cripple. Mephibosheth was a cripple. You find rich men. Abraham was rich. Solomon was rich. You read of brave men. Men who were brave. David had a whole host of them. In 2 Samuel 23, 37 brave men. But this is the only time in the Bible a man is called little. I suppose today we'd say shortage. That's about how we would describe him. He was a little man, and it tells us that. And being covetous, and it says he was the chief of the publicans. In other words, this man was even higher up than Matthew the publican, whom the Lord called. He was the chief of the publicans. I'll tell you, he must have been quite a character. And his business was a senior tax collector. And he wouldn't be like today no more than some of these internal revenue men that pester people for the first 3 or 4 months of every year. And so here is this man, Zacchaeus. And that was his business, collecting taxes. And evidently he paid off because he was rich. That's how he got his money. Another thing, what were his methods? False statements, false demands, false accounts. That's evident by what you read in verse 8, because he wanted to make restitution. What was his reputation? A notorious sinner. Christ has gone to be a guest with this man who's a sinner. He's a notorious character. Yes, all that's true. But he was a curious character, and that curiosity led to his salvation. He sought to see Jesus. Heavenly money had been on his mind ever since he was a boy, and I suppose that's true of every Jew. Money's on their mind. But now a moment comes, a psychological moment comes, when this rich man sought to see him who excels all earthly riches. I'm going to see this man Jesus. He's getting down to business. Maybe his riches didn't satisfy. He had heard about this blind man outside the gates of Jericho. Likely he had seen him. Maybe he gave him a little piece of money now and again, hoping that would help him. But now something's happened. Unusual. That blind Bartimaeus that I've seen sitting there outside this gate, I understand he's got his eyes open. I've heard about this man Jesus, too, from one of your group. But I gotta see him now. To see that little Bartimaeus has gotten his eyes open. My, this is a miracle that deserves investigation. But he had two obstacles. As much as Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord, he had two obstacles, and most people have that. One was the crowd, and the other was his own shortcomings. He was a little man. Now he's on the spot. Others were in his way. How could he get through the crowd? There were so many people, just a multitude, a press. And if he stood on his tiptoes, he couldn't see. So he had the indifference of others and his own shortcomings, two barriers. You investigate why a lot of people are not saved. It's one or the other of those two things, the indifference of others. Other people are not concerned about your being saved. They're not concerned about you going to heaven. They're not interested in themselves. Why should they be interested in you? How many people now are interested in your salvation? I don't know how many times I've had people tell me during the week, you know, I was going to come out church Sunday morning, but we had company come just as we were ready to get in the car. And company did. The indifference of others. Todd Baum, as I've mentioned many times, owner of Ground Transport, he said to me one time, He says, Brother Lester, you know, after Mary and I got saved, it seems as though so many of our friends and relatives came to visit us Sunday morning just as we were getting ready to go to church. And we said, now listen, they have no interest in us, evidently. And evidently, they don't have any interest in themselves, or they'd go to church. So he said, I met one of them just as we went out the door. Now he says, you can do one of two things. Come to church with us, and you'll be welcome. Oh, but we're not dressed. Never mind. Come with us. They're not going to look at your clothes. So you can either come with us or wait here till we get back. He said, Brother Lester, that got around the family circle. That got around the grapevine because we didn't have any people coming anymore. They found out that we were going to go to the church. So he said, very few of them, if any, that we recall, ever came dressed to go. So they waited and came another time. The indifference of others to our spiritual welfare and his own shortcomings. He was little as that. These are the two barriers that a lot of people are faced with. Some come to church out of, in order to criticize. You always get critic. Some come out of courtesy. Well, so-and-so invited me, and I'm going out of courtesy. Some come out of concern. They're concerned about spiritual things, and that's wonderful. When you invite people and people come to church because they're concerned, some come out of curiosity. They're curious. They want to hear. I can give you many incidents in my life. When I first came south the first year, we went to a little place called Canton, Clayton, North Carolina, about 20 miles from Raleigh. And we started meeting. And there was a fellow in that town, he was the catcher of the baseball team, Clarence Tula. And he read the little card that we gave him. We took him all around the doors, all over town. And he looked at it and he laughed. Here's another one, he said this to his wife, here's another one of those preachers coming around trying to get money. And he said, all I thought about preachers was they were after the money. But there was a little line down at the bottom of that card, and I still have that card. It's about as brown as those sheets. Because this is over 40 years ago. There was a little line down at the bottom that got his curiosity up. No offerings or collection will be taken at these meetings. He said, wife, look at this. No collection taken at these meetings. That got his curiosity. I got to hear this man. And he did. And the first time he came, he sat on the back seat. I can see him yet, sitting on the back seat with a big sweater, an old collar. And he hadn't been to church only once before in his life. He was 25 years of age, catcher of the local ball club, had a fight almost every game, either with argument with the umpire or the other player. Tough character. But he was curious about a preacher not taking a collection. And he sat at the back. And when he went home, he got mad. Somebody had stolen all his chickens. He said, I go to church. And here somebody steals all my chickens. I'm going back. The next night, meeting time came around. And he was sitting on the front door, porch, still punk, mad about chickens on. Well, his wife said, I'm going. Well, he said, I don't have any chickens to look after. I might as well go myself. So he came. And he seemed to move up a row every night. Until one night he sat right over my left on the front row. When we got through preaching, he came over to me. He just broke down and cried. And that was a miracle to see a big fellow like that. And he cried like a child. He turned around and sat down on the platform. He said, something happened to me while you were preaching. He said, never happened before. Eli said, let's see what the Bible says. I start reading the Bible, showing him texts about Christ says, he that heareth my word and believeth on me that sent me hath everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, is passed from death unto life. That's it, that's it. Every text I read, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you this. He said, that's it. That's what happened. You know, he turned out to be a preacher. But it all started with curiosity over that one line. He doesn't take any collection. So I'm glad when people come out of curiosity. It may lead to their salvation. Well, that was true with this man, Zacchaeus. Curiosity. And I'll tell you, he was earnest in verse 4. He ran. Did you notice that? He ran. He meant business. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, Christ, for he was to pass that way. Now you can see that Jew running. And he thought, well, I'm going to get through this crowd. They're not going to stand in my way, and I'm not going to allow the fact that I'm a little fella hindered either. And he went up, shinnied up that tree, and he picked out a limb. And he sat on that limb, and undoubtedly it was a limb that allowed him to look right down on that path. And the pathway went right under the tree, and he wanted an opening in the foliage so he could look down and get a good look at this man. And so the Lord came along, followed by this great crowd. And what happened? When the Lord got right there, he stopped. He stopped. I know this must have shook Zacchaeus. And he looked up, and eyes met. And the Lord said, Zacchaeus! And knowing people, he just said, someone went and told this man Jesus that I was up this tree. Because he wouldn't have known it. And they also told him my name, for he called. Yeah. Little did Zacchaeus knew that the Lord not only knew his name and knew his trade, he knew the very limb he sat on, and he knew he had a house. The Lord knew all about it. I've had lots of people in my life after service that come up and said, somebody told you all about me. Didn't tell me a word. All they did, you described me. And you looked at me. All the time you're preaching, you're pointing your finger. No, I never met you before. And I wasn't looking at anybody in particular. Oh, you were. No, friend, if you think I am or describing your condition, it's the Lord who knows all about you. And he's the one that's putting his finger on the trouble. Your conscience is sensitive, guilty. And that's the point. And how embarrassing when the Lord came and stopped right under the tree and looked up and said, Zacchaeus! And of course, when the Lord looked up and said, Zacchaeus, you can see all the eyes look up too. How embarrassing. How embarrassing. He thought he was going to hide. But all the crowd looked up, and Zacchaeus might have said, well, this is an embarrassing situation to see the tax collector, and I know most of these people, sitting up here in a tree. But he was challenged. The Lord says, make haste, come now, for today I must abide at thy house. That was a challenge once, wasn't it? Make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. I wonder what kind of an argument followed that. Make haste, come down, Zacchaeus. What a challenge. Here's Bartimaeus, the blind man. He was poor. Here's Zacchaeus. He was a rich man. Bartimaeus was down, sitting there with his cup, wanting money. But this man was up. Zacchaeus was up a tree. The Lord said to Bartimaeus, stand up! Listen up. Zacchaeus, you come down. Just the opposite. Bartimaeus' condition was physical, his mind. Zacchaeus' condition was spiritual. Nothing wrong with his body. He had a spiritual need. He was a lost sinner. And let me tell you, the Lord challenging some of you this morning. As he said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. The Lord is challenging you to come down out of your lofty perch of self-importance and your so-called good life and church affiliation, your morality. He says, make haste and come down. For if you don't come down of your own will, I'll bring you down in a day to come. And here's a challenge. Make haste and come down. And you know, I'd like to have been there and had a snapshot of Zacchaeus coming down. I believe he came down quick. The Lord says, make haste. Don't lose any time. I'm just passing through. Make haste and come down. Now, he could have carried on an argument with the Lord while he sat up there. So, Lord, how'd you know I was up here? Who told you my name? How'd you know I had house? He didn't worry about all that. Nor did he worry about the crowd. He made haste. He came down. And what did he do? He received him, Jesus, joyfully. What a wonderful reception. He didn't argue. He didn't dispute. He came down and he received the Lord Jesus joyfully. Joy is always associated with receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen anyone receive Christ sadly. They've always been joyful. Many, many a time, hundreds of times, I've talked to people after the meeting, tears running down their cheeks. And I've said to more than one, why are you crying? I'm so happy. I've never heard one say, I'm so sad. I'm so happy. I've got Christ. I received Christ. And Zacchaeus received Christ joyfully. What a joyful moment it is when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you're ready to receive Christ this morning. You know, when you stop to think about it, your heart needs to be changed. He was challenged. And when he came down and received Christ, he was a changed man. Yes, something changed within his heart. Your heart needs to be changed. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what God says. Your heart needs to be changed. You say, well, my heart doesn't need to be changed. I'm not deceitful. And I'm not desperately wicked. You make God a liar if you say you're not wicked. Desperately wicked. God's word says that. God knows your heart. He knows your condition. And he says your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you say that's not true, you're making God a liar. Your heart sure they needs a change. And if you reject God's way of salvation, as you have in 1 John 10, that is, God gives the record of his son, and he says, if you don't believe this, you make God a liar. If you don't believe God, what he says about your heart, your condition, and that you need a change, you make him a liar. And if you don't believe what he says about how you can be changed, you'll make him a liar again. That's a serious offense. And so Zacchaeus was changed, and what a change. Look what he did in verse 8. Talk about a change. See what happened. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. I'm going to straighten things up. Up in Canada, and this happened many times when I was a boy, a man come around selling lumber. Quite often it was 4 feet in length. And so you'd buy it. And so one day, the man came to the door, wood man, knocked the door of this home of a Christian, as it happened to be. And she said, glad to see you, but we've been checking on your lumber. And up to the last pile we bought from you, you were about 3 or 4 inches short of 4 feet, but the last time, it was exactly 4 feet, just a little more. Why the change? He said, I'm glad you asked if I want to tell you. He says, you know, I used to cut it a little under length. I wasn't a Christian then. But I got saved, and after I got saved, I saw that every piece was 4 inches or better. That was a change to us. And I remember when the milkman used to come to our home, especially in the wintertime, old Mr. Caulfish, the farmer, and we'd get our milk by the pint or the quart, and I'd seen him step in the door with the icicles running down his mustache. A mother take one look at the little pint container or the quart, and I know there was a quarter of inch ice on the little container. A mother knew she was getting shorted, so she'd say, Mr. Caulfish, would you like a cup of tea while I melt the container, get the ice out of it? She wanted to have full pint or full quart. Yes, you know, God believes in honesty. A pint means a pint. A quart means a quart. In time, a man was diluting his milk. Adding a little water, thinning it down, same price. And this household noticed that the last couple of times the milk was better. It seemed richer. And so the lady of the house met him the next time he came. They say, you've got a new herd of cows? No. Have you been putting them in a better pasture? No. Why? You know, the milk, the last 2 or 3 times, it's just been wonderful. There's more cream. And that's something the ladies used to watch for, is that cream sitting on the top of the box. That was for them, the skim milk for the husband. And all used to like to see this rich milk. And they noticed that they were getting more of it on top of the bottle. You know, the milkman says, you know, I haven't got any better cows nor better pastures. But I found Christ, and when I found Christ, I stopped diluting that milk. What a change. Nicodemus, or this man Zacchaeus, he says, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've overcharged somebody, in fact, if I've charged them more taxes than they should have, I'll give them 4 times as much. What a changed life in this public. That's what the gospel does. What a change in a person's life when they receive Christ. Regeneration is a change. From a sinner to a saint, from an enemy to a friend, from darkness to light, from death to light, from deceit to honesty. Regeneration is a divine change. God changes you. It's an instantaneous change. It changes the moment you receive Christ. It's a mysterious change. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You can't handle the Spirit. But the Spirit brings about the change the moment you admit you're lost and receive Christ as your Savior. It's an entire change, Spirit, soul, and body. Didn't his life change? Your understanding is enlightened. Your judgment is made sound. Your will is subject. Your affections are spiritualized. You love your Bible. Now, you didn't love it before. You want to read it now. You didn't read it before. You love Christian. You love to come to church. You didn't do it before. There is a spiritual change. And there's a change in your judgment. There's a change in your will. Your will is subject. Your affections are spiritualized. And your conscience is cleansed. Before it was guilty. Now your conscience is cleansed. Oh, what a change. And regeneration is a visible change. Paul says, living epistles, know and read of all men. Yes, when you get saved, it's a change. And so this man, Zacchaeus. He says, I'll tell you now, I found you, Lord. There's no short change now. And I'm going to pay back. I'm going to make restitution to all those who I have shortchanged and deceived and charged too much. That's a wonderful change. People look for that when a man gets saved. They look for a change. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. What a change. Until the Lord comes, and that's going to be the best change of all. A man of 60 was dying. The time came when he said goodbye to his family, his wife, his children. He left his dear old dad, who was nearing 90. He left him to the last. He took his father's hand in his. Well, Dad, I guess it's not much use. Hardly worthwhile. Saying goodbye to you. Old father got the point. He looked up. He said, Alex, I guess it isn't much you saying goodbye. We'll soon meet. We'll soon meet. The sun was going now, and the father knew it wouldn't be long. He had gone. What a change. What a change when the Lord comes or when death comes. Like the old Indian chief who had put off and put off and put off this question of salvation. Finally, he saw the end was approaching. He came to the missionary. He says, can I change to the Jesus way now? Yes, says the missionary. You can change to the Jesus way now. And so can you. Receive Christ. Receive him. Joyfully. How personal this is. It says, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus, that's personal, isn't it? He called him by his name. Pressing, make haste and come down. Humbling, come down. Immediately, today, abide. This salvation is abide. It's not something that comes and goes. He says, today I must abide at thy house. And when Christ comes into your heart, he comes in to abide. He's not a visitor, he's a resident. Today I'm going to abide at thy hut. That day, the Lord Jesus was the guest of Zacchaeus, until the day when Zacchaeus became the guest of the Lord in glory. That day, Zacchaeus received Christ into his heart and into his home. That day, the Lord received Zacchaeus into his heart and into his home later on. What a change. This is yours this morning for the taking. You know, it's remarkable. Zacchaeus and Christ met at the foot of a sycamore tree. The sinner and the Savior meet at the foot of the cross, another tree. Kneel at the cross. And look up. And on this occasion, it's the Lord, the Savior, who's up. Man's down. In this incident, the Lord was down. The sinner was up, exalting himself above the law. But now, friend, Christ is up. And he says, if I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. He wants to draw you up. Are you willing to be drawn up this morning by the magnetic power of the person of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to receive the Savior? Are you willing to receive in this very moment? When you cross the threshold of your home, in a little while as you go home, will you be able to say, as you have been, verse 9, today is salvation come to this house. Yes. Resident salvation. How wonderful. To leave your house this morning a sinner on the way to hell and enter the door as you go back home, able to say, today, salvation has come to this house because it's come into my heart. This is the story of Zacchaeus. Will it be the story of you this morning? Oh, make haste. Don't delay. Come down. Receive him joyfully. It'll change your heart. It'll change your life. It'll change your home. Until someday it'll change your body. This is God's wonderful, wonderful salvation. The story of a little man.